The Alien Invasion is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, September 20th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is Alien Invasion number 47 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me from Anessa, Texas, but that would be incorrect.
I have my own town in Texas. Take that.
You should have your own town, Anessa.
I should, but everybody would call it Vanessa, and so...
Yeah. You'd get people calling your voicemail, calling you Vanessa. It'd be a crazy thing.
Just giving Derek a hard time. Yeah, that's, whoever he is.
Refer to our previous podcast with our voicemail. let me correct myself. From Denton, Texas, it's Anessa Moyens. How you doing, Anessa?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
Not too bad. We were talking pre-show that we're both very tired. Both our schedules are just crazy now because I have a full-time job, and then you are going to school and working. So we're both running around like crazy people right now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. At least we're not zombies.
Yet.
Yeah. Give it some time. So
I'm getting there.
Do you want to talk about Brad, since he's not here, or why he's not here?
Sure. So Brad had to go down to Madison with his son to get tested for seizures. And also, I just want to wish Brad a happy belated birthday because his birthday was on Monday.
That's right. Yes. I mentioned that to him on the social networks, and I said, we should talk about that on the podcast. And he's like, well, I won't be in the podcast this Thursday. I'm like, damn it. Okay.
We can still talk about it.
Somebody, one of us should have got some cake, because any reason to eat cake would I'm all over.
Yeah, we should have gotten cake. Although, I'm probably going to make cookies, so maybe I'll save a couple of cookies for the podcast next week.
Yeah.
Snickerdoodles.
That's awesome. All right. So, this is the show where we talk about aliens and all their different forms, and we're talking about the space aliens, not the illegal aliens coming from other countries. We're talking about illegal aliens coming from other worlds. And of course, in TV, movie, comics, games, science, weekly world news stories, you name it, we talk about it, and we do it into three parts. We break it down into three parts: the news, the creature feature, that's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or the Google Plus, and we'll let you know what's going on, what's shaking. Or you can just go to galacticnetcast.com/live. So let's get the show on the road and start with this.
In the news.
Well, according to Gordon Duff, senior editor of the publication on Veterans Today, Veterans Today, that's the publication, intelligence sources are revealing that hostile extraterrestrials are militarily engaging with world naval forces. In an article, Duff claims that the Chinese Navy is lending assistance to the U.S. in battling these hostile forces in what looks like a real-life version of the recent movie Battleship. Duff claims that his intelligence sources are Asian and that U.S. naval forces are stretched thin in the Pacific due to a beefed-up naval presence in the Persian Gulf. Duff admits that the story stretches credibility, but his source is usually reliable, thereby raising the possibility that either the story is largely accurate or officially sanctioned disinformation. The claim that a multinational military force is battling a UFO threat off the coast of San Francisco appears to be circumstantially supported by unusually high U.S. naval activity in the region. Duff claims that no U.S. military sources are confirming these events. He refers to a classified memo that apparently is being circulated to only a small group of need-to-know officials. And in the memo, Duff claims that it says that opposition is extraterrestrial and extremely aggressive and unfriendly. The threat represents a clear and present danger and is isolated in the Pacific Basin. China is forced to carry U.S. responsibility because our own naval capability is sitting in the Persian Gulf, and attempts to seek confirmations or to directly verify these operations will lead to fatal consequences, whatever the hell that means. In his conclusion, Duff writes, I either have to give this a 70% or reclassify a reliable source as purposefully leaking something that makes no sense. So there you go. We have possibly a battleship movie in real life going on right now in the Pacific.
Hollywood comes to life.
You know what? There's a third alternative. They could be filming Pacific Rim right now. The movie Pacific Rim.
They could.
You've heard about
or
that.
Maybe there's like another battleship sequel.
Yeah. They could be filming a movie and not telling anybody, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Do you think this is, what are the possibilities of this being real?
I doubt it's real.
Okay. Yeah. Probably not.
I would be honest, I don't think it's real, but I could be wrong.
What's interesting is this story did not come from something like the Weekly World News or one of those fringe websites.
I was actually surprised about that.
Yeah. So
what is that?
That lends a little credence that it's coming from theexaminer.com. Now, what is The Examiner? Where's that based out of?
Isn't that a UK thing or no? Examiner.
I think it is.
I want to say that I've gotten a lot of stories from there, and they're all UK-based. At least whenever they released the UFO files a couple months ago, I believe Examiner is where I got the stories from.
Okay, I'm looking right now. No, it's actually based.
It's
actually based in Denver. So
maybe it's the Guardian that I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who
yeah,
knows?
I think it is the Guardian. I'm just looking at the brief synopsis of the website. It doesn't really say, you know, what their focus is too much.
No. But apparently Lewinsky is writing a tell-all.
Whoa.
Totally not related.
Like Monica Lewinsky?
I assume. That just says, Hot Topics, Lewinsky writing tell-all.
She hasn't really been in the news that much.
No.
Maybe that's why. Maybe she wants to get back in the news.
She wants attention, so.
Yeah. All right, so we may have a war going on in the Pacific with U.S. and Chinese naval forces fighting aliens. I'd like to see some concrete proof here. I'm surprised that, I mean, how hard would it be to actually go out to the ocean and go, oh, there's a war going on, or, oh, there's nothing going on out here?
The ocean is pretty big, so.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It could be isolated.
Maybe they're just going to the wrong part of the ocean and they don't see anything. So they're like, oh, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Although then, wouldn't you be able to look at satellite footage at some point?
That's true. Yeah, we should. You know what? I should have done my own research. I should have like gone on to Google Earth or something. Or done some more, dug into this deeper. Some investigative reporting.
Although I don't know how frequently Google Earth actually updates their satellite imagery.
That's true.
So, because I know looking at our observatory, it's funny. As far as when you zoom in, you can tell some photos are older than other images. and just by what features are currently there or not there.
Have you ever played that game where you like look up your address and see what cars were sitting outside the house at the time the Google Earth picture was taken?
Yeah, I've looked up like my parents' house to see like if it was recent, or I guess since they've bought it like a few years ago. But yeah, I have done that. Oh, I wonder if I recognize any cars. So
I've done that a couple of times. Yeah, I think at two jobs ago, I remember looking up, and it was the picture that they had was even before I worked there, or no, maybe a couple of years after I started, but like way before the time that I actually looked it up. So yeah, it's they're not that up to date.
Yeah, they're not.
All right. Well, maybe what's the actor that played the main guy in Battleship from Friday Night Lights? Come on, Anessa.
Like the John Carter guy?
Texas Forever, yeah. What's his name?
I don't remember. Okay. I'm awful with names.
You're not a very good Texan if you don't know the actor's name. All right. We'll figure
it
out.
But he's not Texan, is he?
Yeah, he's actually Canadian. He's way far away from being Texan.
Taylor Kitsch?
Yeah, Taylor Kitsch. All right, there we go. That's our first story. You want to take the next one, Anessa?
Sure. on previous episodes of The Alien Invasion, we've talked about the new Russell T. Davies young adult show, Wizards vs. Aliens, in which a boy wizard fights an alien invasion. Well, now there's a first glimpse of the show available, wrapped in with some footage from another British show, Wolf's Blood. And the clips to us via Being Cool, which posted it last week. One of the things to look for on the video is an incredibly huge blue spaceship hovering over some kind of druid ritual. Other reasons to be excited about Wizards vs. Aliens coming this fall, because it's basically reuniting the whole production team of the Sarah Jane Adventures. Russell T. Davies said that the show came about over a conversation he had with someone about how no one ever really mixed the sci-fi and fantasy genres before.
Yeah, this show looks pretty cool. I actually saw this preview without realizing what I was seeing. Like, I was watching Doctor Who last Saturday, via my VPN, which, if you don't know what a VPN is, you actually are routing your internet through another country. So I'm able to watch Doctor Who live on the BBC website, because it thinks that I'm in Britain. Because normally, if you're US-based or based someplace else, you're not able to watch any live programming from a different country. So I VPN into Britain, watched Doctor Who, and I saw this preview without even thinking. After I saw the video again, I'm like, oh, I already saw that. It looks pretty cool, actually. Did you get a chance to check out the video?
I've not had a chance to check out the video, unfortunately, but I will.
It looks very young adultish. Well, it's on the CBBC, which is the children's BBC. But it looks almost like, not like young children, it looks like young adult. Like it's a young adult. Like it's very,
like,
I'm trying to think of a comparison. Like it's very CW-ish in a way.
I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. So, Wizards, yeah, he brings up a very good point. Like, you never see genres cross like that. Like, you never see, like, on Star Trek The Next Generation, you never see, like, somebody doing a spell. If they did a spell, then Data and Geordi would figure out, you know, what's behind it, why, what's making it look like he's doing a spell on somebody, you know?
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting, though, to see someone casting a spell on Star Trek. So all of a sudden you have a wizard conjuring up something. Or
yep, I know. Or the other way around, too. You know, on a Harry Potter type story, you never see like a spaceship come down. you know, or like robots or, you know, even aliens sticking to the subject of the show. So it's neat that they're crossing genres. Finally, somebody's breaking the barrier.
Unless you go to a festival or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the only places that have really seen the barriers crossed. So
cosplay.
You'll have,
there's no holds bar on cosplay.
A Trekkie cosplaying at like the Renaissance Festival.
Yep. It's weird.
So
weird.
For research. They're checking out the planet.
have you ever seen the Sarah Jane Adventures?
I have not, but I did discover the other day that if you have Amazon Prime, they are available for streaming through your Prime membership.
Oh, dude.
I am excited. Because I have Prime, and I finally get to use it.
I've recently thought about getting Prime just to check it out, because you get the free shipping. And with my job and all, I can actually buy things again. So I'm thinking about, you know, starting to fund the economy a little bit. And then at the same time, I get the streaming. So maybe there's some stuff that that's not available on Netflix that I can watch on Amazon Prime.
For the most part, up until recently, most of what was on Amazon Prime I found on Netflix. But the other day, I found the Sarah Jane Adventures, and I also found Fringe, which I haven't seen that show.
No, it has not been on Netflix. It's missing. That's a gaping hole in Netflix that needs to be remedied, needs to be filled.
Indeed, but it's on Amazon Prime, so that's another show that I can check out.
And
I'm excited.
You being a Who fan, a Doctor Who fan, I'm sure that this would feed into your fandom a little bit. Sarah Jane Adventures.
Indeed. I think it would. So I want to check it out. I might this weekend, I'm hoping.
Cool. Well, maybe that can be, maybe there'll be some alien stuff and that can be your pick in a coming episode.
I believe the Slovene end up showing up in like the first episode or two. So I can talk about them again. So I don't know, I'm sure there are other aliens in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Doesn't the 10th Doctor make an appearance or two, too? I think.
I think so, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Well,
I will find out.
You will find out and let us know. All right. There you go. Something to look forward to, all the UK listeners of this show and VPNers. We would love to know what you think of the stuff that we've talked about so far. Like, do you believe there's an actual war going on in the Pacific between the U.S. and Chinese fleets and aliens? Or, you know, are you excited about wizards versus aliens? Let us know. Leave us feedback by calling our voicemail, 805-328-3966. You can also email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. All right. Final story in the news segment for this week. There's a new app available for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone 7 called Smashing Planets 1.0. In this arcade-style game, aliens are invading the Earth, and players must launch missiles to keep them at bay. Unique to this app is the ability to guide the missiles by drawing their trajectory on the screen, which allows them to be steered around meteors and enemy shields. I've never heard of a missile being able to be steered around things. That's an interesting feature, if they could actually adapt that to real life. Let's steer the missile around something.
Avoid this house for the next one.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, I mean, if it was being, like, driven, like, remotely, I'm sure you could maybe drive it around something, or steer it around something. Don't you think?
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would think so, depending on what that something is and how big it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, how quickly the missile actually has to turn and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes a little bit for the moving process to get underway. You know, you have to, it can't just be like, you know, just like around, like a tree. You can't go around a tree.
So I'd assume it have to be something, you know, it'd have plenty of time and space to
Time and space.
But I don't really know. Time and space.
Yay. All right. So Smashing Planets offers 16 levels of action, plus one survival mode level that really rockets up the excitement. And this is that was the one sentence I couldn't take out of the story, because I got this story from a website that blatantly looked like they were like advertising this. It looked like initially it looked like just a blog post on like a gaming website, but then the more I read it, I'm like, this is written. It's either being written by the company to promote it, or this is like a press release that these guys did not edit at all, because survival mode that really rockets up the excitement. Doesn't that's not something that a normal person would say.
I say that all the time, but
you're gonna have to prove that. You're gonna have to one of these days. You're gonna have to inject that into our conversation.
It really rockets up the excitement. I'm gonna have to try to remember that.
See, you're lying. You're lying.
I know, that was me joking. That was my sarcasm.
I know. So,
but I'll make a ref to that at some point.
No, just yeah, that'd be totally cool. It'd be like a callback. I love doing callbacks. So make a second mental note to about the first mental note or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mental notes about mental notes.
Yeah. All right.
About notes.
So Smashing Planets 1.0. Has multiple types of alien spacecraft, each requiring a different tactic and a different type of missile to defeat it. Plus, users must be on guard for alien bosses who are particularly merciless and dishonestly... Okay, I can't talk tonight. Dishonestly cunning. Smashing Planets 1.0 is only 99 cents. And it's available now in your app store. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually download this as we're talking here. So I'm going to go to the Google Play Store and see if it's actually available already. Maybe you can hum in the background, Vanessa, while I do this.
Da, 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 da.
Superman.
Da, 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 da.
He went around the planet and make it spin the other way. Right?
That was my Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's Indiana Jones. Okay.
Yes. Like, wait a second. He was running from boulders and swinging from things and...
Okay, I found
it. Freaking out about snakes.
Okay. I'm downloading it. See, this is the kind of thing I can do now that I have a job. I can actually spring for 99-cent apps. Awesome.
It's the little things in life.
I know. All right, so I'm downloading it. I accepted and bought. See, I'm never going to play this. I'm not a game person. I'll try it, but then I'll like get frustrated after like 2 minutes and like never play it again.
Aww.
Oh, hang on. I got to agree to Google's terms and service.
I can't type.
So I am downloading Smashing Planets. I'm installing it. Accept and download.
Suspense.
I know. This takes a lot longer than Apple downloads. All right. I'm installing. This is like the worst. This is really bad radio.
So in other news, actually I don't have anything to add after that.
Well, we could talk about.
I don't see it in the App Store though. Maybe I don't know.
Are you in the Apple App Store? iTunes?
I am.
So,
yes.
If you're watching us on Spreecast or you're watching the video, this is the start screen right there.
Little flying saucers.
Yeah. There's the Earth, and then there's missiles coming from the Earth. And what looks like, is that Washington, D.C. on the Earth?
It could be.
Yeah. That's a smashing
point. Or I could just say it's Austin, capital of Texas.
There you go. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Because everything's bigger in Texas. And
yep.
That's pretty big to take up like that much of the Earth's surface.
That would be a large building, let me tell you. It's huge. All right, so there you go. Smashing Planets 1.0, again, available in your app store, so pick it up today if you like casual games. All right, so the Alien Invasion is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, the Galactic Netcast listeners and viewers, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To coincide with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Aliens Rule. Now, this is another collection book. We've done collections before on the Audible recommendations. Thank you. In James Van Pelt's How Music Begins, there's three stories in this book. A junior high school band director struggles to keep the band members' spirits up after they've been shanghaied by unknown and unseen aliens and confined to a dormitory and practice auditorium. In Okanagan Falls by Carolyn Ives, Gilman, a housewife, subtly resists the forcible relocation of her townspeople by an alien military captain. And finally, in order to stay alive, a woman must make dogs act correctly for aliens. In Laws of Survival by Nancy Kress. She's got to make dogs act correctly. So,
how does a dog act correctly?
I don't know. I have no idea. I guess
when in doubt, pinky out.
Yeah, you'll have to. Never. What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
Oh, when in doubt, pinky out.
Yeah.
It's basically like, I don't know. It's always like, I always think of it as like when you're drinking tea, like holding the glass. If you don't know how.
Oh, proper etiquette.
When in doubt, pinky out.
Proper decorum. I see. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. All right. So, yeah. Well, you'll have to find out. Listen to the book. Download it from Audible. And you can get it free right now. Just go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast for your free audiobook. And we thank Audible for their support of The Alien Invasion. All right, let's move on to this.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
You said, ooh, Anessa, did you not know that you had the Creature Feature?
I did not know that I had the Creature Feature.
If you want me to, I can do it.
It's a surprise.
I can
Oh, no, I'm cool with the Creature Feature.
Okay.
Because it's the...
Hang on 1 second. You were breaking up.
So,
you were breaking up.
Okay.
Okay. With the creature.
Sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. For the novice Alien Invasion listeners or viewers, what the Creature Feature is our spotlight on famous aliens in either movies, TV, literature, the real life, supposed where we see it, you know, the ones that abduct humans, that kind of thing. So, what is this week's Creature Feature, Anessa?
It is the Blob. Yay!
Yes!
The Blob is a space creature first depicted in the 1958 film starring Steve McQueen of the same name that depicts a giant amoeba-like alien that came from outer space and terrorizes the small community of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. The alien is first discovered by a farmer who finds a meteorite, and when he pokes it with a stick, it breaks open, revealing a small jelly-like blob inside. The man picks it up with a stick, and then suddenly it attaches itself to his hand. In pain and unable to scrape or shake it loose, the man runs into a road, or onto a road, and then gets hit by a car. A doctor, who is caring for the farmer, decides he must amputate the man's arm since it is being consumed by the growing blob. Before he can, however, the blob completely consumes the old man, then a nurse, and finally the doctor himself, all while increasing in size. The blob gets loose and continues to consume human victims. Later in the film, they figure out that CO2 paralyzes the blob, and the Air Force is able to transport it to the Arctic. In 1988, a remake of The Blob was released. So,
have you seen either of them?
I know I've seen the 1988 version as a kid, but I don't remember it very well. But I've seen the 1958 version, and it's pretty entertaining because you have, as says, the farmer's poking the meteorite with a stick, it breaks open, and then you see the blob. And then in like a split second, the blob jumps from the meteorite to the stick, even though throughout the rest of the movie, or most of the movie, it's very slow moving, like it barely moves, but it's like sudden jumps, and just the film editing is really entertaining. So if people have not seen it, I recommend checking out the blob.
Well, maybe it's faster before it eats. Maybe when it starts consuming, it gets slow because it's full and, you know...
full of humans.
Yeah. I ate too many humans. Now I can't move very fast.
So.
No, I...
That could be it.
I remember watching this as a kid over at my friend Troy LaCour's house, who was not a very nice person. But we hung out. You know how when you're a kid, you're kind of forced on people? You know, you're kind of forced to hang out with people because they're the only ones around. So he was the kind of person that he was the only one around. He got me in trouble a lot. But anyways, we were in his basement and we were watching The Blob, and I remember being freaked out by it, like being like truly scared by watching The Blob. And, you know, this is late 70s, early 80s, so the movie was already really old, so I don't know what I was thinking. But it was scary because obviously it was an old movie. It's cheesy.
Yeah. So, I don't think I saw the original Blob until high school, and it was part of a class.
Oh, wow.
I took a class that was called American History on Film. And so we would watch movies that would take up at least one and a half class periods, and then we would have to write a paper and talk about it for the other, and then like the teacher would lecture on what we were seeing next. And a lot of this one in particular, he wanted us to see, I guess, the mindset of the 1950s and look at the fashion and just everything about the film, but mainly the mindset and the whole Cold War mentality. So there was a reason.
Yeah, a lot of those movies from like the 1950s and 1960s, even though they weren't directly about communism and the Cold War and the Red Scare, those features were interjected into the plot, even if they weren't directly about it, you know?
Right. They still had an influence on the story and what was going on, and so that's what he wanted us to see with The Blob. So that's when I saw the original Blob, but I'd seen the remake before that, but I don't remember a whole lot about it.
I also read...
Besides it being in color.
Yeah. In the Wikipedia article, it also mentions that Rob Zombie was working on his version of it for a while, but he eventually dropped it. Which was probably smart, because there's not a lot you can do with The Blob, you know? Because The Blob is The Blob. I mean, it's not going to be exciting because it moves slow, you know?
Right.
Not a whole lot you can do with that, unless you make it float, or you make it so it like...
Or you make it more viscous, I guess, so it can move quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
So... But then it's not really the blob anymore. It's like the puddle.
We should make that the puddle.
It's just it's the puddle. Run.
It's just a bunch of people peeing. it's just Bob. He had too many beers. It's not an alien.
Just put up the little caution sign.
Yeah.
Free wet.
Yeah. That would be awesome. All right, so there you go. That's our creature feature for the week, The Blob. I'm sure you can find the movie. You know what? I'm thinking this is a movie that you can watch on the Internet Archive website. Archive.org?
Yeah, probably there. Or I've noticed that YouTube has a lot of movies on there now.
Oops. I always spelled The Blob,
like
The Blog.
Older movies.
Yeah.
The blog.
Blog. You know what? I'm surprised that hasn't been done yet. Like make the blog into like a scary movie, and it's about somebody writing a blog or reading a blog. That would be awesome.
Indeed.
I'm looking on archive, and I don't see the original. I'm seeing a lot of videos, but I don't see the actual movie itself. So this may be tougher to find than we thought.
Maybe.
Wow.
I'll, hang on.
Here we are.
I was just glancing on YouTube to see if maybe I could find the movie, but I don't see it. I see a lot of the trailers for the 1988 version and the 1958 opening tune, but I don't actually see the Blob movie.
I'm going to try looking on Netflix. I haven't even thought of looking on there yet.
But I'm sure it's available on Amazon.
Yes.
DVD.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to put that in our recommendations, our picks page on galacticnetcast.com, because if you buy things through our website, we'll get a certain percentage. So if you're interested in downloading or getting a physical copy of The Blob, go through our website and we'll have a link on the picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. All right.
Indeed.
You can listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio. Like, we had a voicemail on Time Traveling Robots in Space last night. Derek was his name, right?
It's Derek, and I'm really glad he enjoyed our show.
Yeah, and he listens to it on Stitcher, which is awesome. You can get Stitcher as an app for your iPhone. You know, the Android or the iPhone 5 comes out tomorrow. So maybe this would be a perfect time to, you know, with your new phone, get the Stitcher app for the new iPhone. Maybe that's an idea. You can also get it on your BlackBerry, your Android, your Nook tablets. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. You can customize channels, you know, have your favorites on a station. Go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts and enter the promo code Galactic Netcasts. How easy is that? Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, since you had the creature feature, I'm going to give you time to recover a little bit, Anessa, and I will go ahead and do my pick before yours.
All right, that's up to you.
That cool?
That's cool.
All right, so my pick is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Are you familiar with it?
I don't think I've seen that one.
You've never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Wow.
I think I was just a kid when I saw that.
This needs to be remedied right now. It's on Netflix. So put it in your queue as I'm talking about it, because I want you to watch this and let me know what you thought.
I'm putting it on my queue.
All right. So, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, directed, written by Steven Spielberg. In fact, it was one of his first movies. I think it was made shortly after Jaws. And it stars Richard Dreyfuss, Melinda Dillon, Terry Garr, and a bunch of others that you will recognize, but not by their names. You know, it's a bunch of those guys, you know?
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah. It tells the story of Roy, a lineman in Indiana, whose life changes after he has an encounter with an unidentified flying object, UFO, obviously, and learns that the U.S. government and an international team of scientific researchers are also aware of these objects as well. So during the film, things keep appearing all over the planet, like a ship. They find a ship in the middle of the Gobi Desert, like a sailing ship, a huge vessel in the middle of the desert. They find they find this squadron of World War II fighters in Mexico. And basically, I'm not going to ruin the story for you, Anessa, but it's basically people that were thought were missing were actually guests of another species from another planet. And the movie culminates at the end with this grand introduction between the humans and the aliens, and they use music to communicate. And the aliens actually get inside the heads of the people that have actually been witness to these people, and they get drawn to a certain location. And that's where the finale of the movie is, where the humans and the aliens meet at the end. It's a visually stunning movie. I mean, it really holds up well. The only thing that makes it look dated is the 1970-ish of it. You know, the cars they drive, the words they use, the clothes they wear, that stuff is dated, but everything else looks awesome. Like the effects, the music, everything. It's, you know, it's a typical Steven Spielberg film. You know, you know that you get a quality movie with Steven Spielberg, and this is pretty much the same way with this one. So that is my recommendation. That's my pick for the week. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, released in 1977. Is that before you were
born? I actually have bad news about Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It's off Netflix?
It's not on Netflix.
Is it on Amazon?
It is not. I don't know. I will check here in a bit.
That's sad. I'm very sad.
Yep.
Now, okay, I'm going to whistle something.
Add it to my cue and everything.
I'm going to whistle something to you and tell me if you recognize this.
Sounds familiar.
That's the song. That's the song that the aliens and the humans use to communicate. That's the... They go beyond words. The language is universal. That's what the whole message of the movie is, I think.
Yeah. Music.
So there you go. That's my pick. Check it out. I will put the link in on the picks page, and you can buy it through Amazon and give us credit for that. All right. So moving on to yours. What do you got, Anessa?
I have a made-for-TV movie called Without Warning. It came out in 1994. The movie itself is made to be a television program that ends up being interrupted by a news broadcast, like late-breaking story.
Mm-hmm.
And the news network is announcing that three meteors have hit the United States, France, and China. At first, it seems natural, but after interviews by scientists and eyewitnesses, it seems to suggest that it's not. Three more meteors are coming, and various Earth governments combine forces to stop them. In order to avoid the sort of hysteria whipped up by Orson Welles, this movie actually broadcasts on the 56th anniversary of the Orson Welles broadcast.
I see.
War of the Worlds. And so in order to make sure that people didn't freak out for this movie, they had, during commercial and right before the show, like, this is fictional, this is not real, don't panic. And so they kept putting that through. And they also cast familiar faces in the movie. So it's not like a bunch of unknown actors and actresses. So it had, like, John Delancey. And it had Jane Kasmarek, which I guess she was the mom in Malcolm in the Middle. So she's one of the reporters. But, yeah, they go from, you know, different reporters out in the field, and they're communicating with the scientists, and then they show the radio, which is kind of cheesy. And what ends up happening is you have, like, the three that strike, and then the scientists are like, well, that's probably not, you know... random, because it seemed like they were calculated, because they were in, like, they hit small towns in remote like parts of the United States and China, mm-hmm. and France, and they find a couple of survivors from these places that are severely burned, but they're kind of rambling nonsense,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to pick out certain words that they're rambling, and then it turns out that they combine what they're saying, and it ends up being a broadcast that was sent up with the Voyager missions.
Whoa.
So, and then they find... But you never see the aliens. You don't know purpose. And for being a like, I don't know. It's kind of cheesy, I guess, to watch the fashion and everything of the mid-90s. It's actually a pretty good movie, and I do recommend watching it. It is available on YouTube in its entirety, uncut, uninterrupted. It's not like part one of 12. So it's all 1 hour, 28 minutes of movie.
What network was this? Did this air on?
I don't remember. Maybe NBC. Okay. I'd have to actually look that up, though.
I'm looking. I'm looking on the IMDb.
I just went to IMDb.
Can't tell. Doesn't say.
No. Although it might be like on Wiki.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. Cool.
Let's see.
CBS. Okay. Did the news reports actually look like real news reports, or could you tell right away that they're faking it? Like, if put yourself in the place of being somebody that's watching this live, would you be fooled by this?
Maybe if you weren't really paying attention to who was actually giving the news report, that's like the giveaway that it's not real or the actors. But, I could figure out that it's not real because, and I'm not trying to spoil anything, but at one point in the movie, there's a meteor that's coming towards Earth, and they're trying to like track it and then destroy it. And you have this reporter out in the field looking up. They're like, it's getting close. It's getting too close. It's too close. And then they destroy it, but you don't hear any explosion if it's okay. Close.
Yeah.
And there's no debris falling around. I mean, I'm sure there'd be small pieces that would end up burning a sphere, but something's bound to make it through, right? And everyone's just like, yay, it's gone. But there's no boom or flashing of light. I would have appreciated at least a flashing of light and a boom.
They could do something like this really well in this day and age. Like, with all the network experience doing reality shows, they could totally pull this off and just freak people out if they wanted to.
Oh, they could. They definitely could. But, yeah, there were little instances like that you could tell that it wasn't real. But it was still entertaining nonetheless.
Cool. I know that British TV, and Joss just joined us in the chat room. He's from Britain, London. He may know the name of this, but I believe the BBC did something like this with ghosts back in the 1990s as well. Or it was either 1990s or late 1980s, if you remember the name of that show, Joss. I know it was a pretend broadcast, and they were showing these things that were supposed to be like ghosts and spirits, and it freaked a lot of people out. A lot of people thought it was real because they used real reporters. They used like people that you would see on the news normally doing this fake reporting, and I think that really lent to the realness of it, the authenticity of it. Oh, Joss is a ghost hunter. That's pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so you can watch that without a warning on YouTube, but we'll have the link in the show notes of the podcast. So that's about it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Google+, and Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast itself. Just go to subscribe.galacticnetcast.com. If you do, go on to iTunes. So many places to go to. Go on to iTunes.
Go everywhere.
Yeah. Go. Give us a favorable review and 5-star rating. That would be awesome because the more of those we get, the more subscribers we get. It's a win-win-win-win.
Win!
Win! All right, that's going to do it. Hopefully Brad's back next week. And you have yourself a great week, Anessa.
You too, Dave.
And we'll see you next time on the Alien Invasion. Bye-bye.
Woo!
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.